I was realizing more and more that I was like, wait, did she actually like call me an escort? Like, I don't listen to Call Her Daddy. This is pretty fucked up.
Hi guys, I'm Belle Benson. Welcome to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy on every Thursday. Today, it's roommate edition.
Hell yeah. Am I allowed to say hell?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure okay. You can say hell.
Okay, sweet.
I'm daddy issues.
Hello.
Hello. So my guest today is Francesca Farrago. You may know her from Too Hot to Handle's Netflix popular show. You may also know her as my roommate.
I don't know.
And I
just
mean,
a thriving individual.
Yeah, she's a thriving individual who has recently moved in with me, and we've been roommates since. But today we decided to have her on because there's been a lot of questions that people have been DMing me and her about Francesca. And we weren't even going to address this.
No.
Because we just didn't care. We just don't care. I feel like sometimes some people are so desperate for attention, they'll say anything just to finally catch your attention. And unfortunately, I feel like we're going to give in to it a little.
Yeah, I hate addressing stuff because I feel like I'm giving in, but it comes to a point where, like, again, like I need to defend myself. So
yeah, and this person doesn't even deserve us mentioning
no.
Frankie, because as you know, my whole brand is women empowering other women, and I don't appreciate or like it when anyone puts down. Forget me, my fucking friends. Like, I don't even care if someone makes fun of me and talks shit about me. But when you mess with my friends, it's like, excuse me?
You're so sweet.
And that's what we're going to address. So we're going to address a bunch of questions you guys recently asked Francesca in her stories and her DMs. And we're going to give you a bunch of dating advice. But we're also going to address the elephant in the room. And no, it's not me.
Stop.
It's actually a little conversation from Call Her Daddy. The girl, Alex, we're sipping tea while spilling tea, but it's basically, we're going to address the fact that Alex decided to call Francesca an escort and what up. And then even though I thought she was sex positive, maybe not, it's confusing. I can't keep up with her, but she had to call Francesca an escort and, you know, trash her name. And then people started DMing her and Francesca and I nonstop about it.
We're just here to spill the facts. That's all we're here to do.
So we're going to clear some shit up.
Let's fucking go.
This year has been a wild ride, and it's definitely been hard to find the calm moments in our lives. That's why Headspace is here to help. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Whether it's falling asleep or finding time for morning meditation, Headspace has you covered. Plus, they're one of the only meditation apps that uses clinically validated research. I love this app because every time Francesca's dog does something super annoying, I just turn this app on and I meditate so I don't murder Francesca. Anyway, Headspace is backed by 25 published studies, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. That's crazy. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is a meditation made simple. So go to headspace.com/too tired. That's headspace.com/too tired for a free one-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is literally the best deal offered right now. So head to headspace.com/TOOTIRED today. Okay, so we're going to start first with the questions that you guys want to answer, whether it's dating or different questions. I'm just going to like spitball here.
There were some really good questions that people were messaging me.
I circled so many. Okay, so let's just start with some fun ones. Oh, okay, let's start with a fun one, which is a lot of some people are asking your star sign, which is basically your sun, your moon, all that. Francesca, her sun is a Scorpio. Her Pluto is a Scorpio. Her Pluto and Jupiter are Scorpio, which I think it just means like social and things like that. Her house she loves is a Scorpio. Her Venus is Scorpio, which means she loves obsessively.
Okay.
So like
that's
when
rude.
So when you love someone, you kind of get obsessed with them.
Yeah, makes sense for sure.
Your Mercury, how you
get so obsessed, I get blinded. The red flags, where are they? I can't see them.
It's so crazy because like red is literally my favorite color.
and I can't see it. I'm colorblind.
So it's like when there's red flags, I'm like, wait, that's crazy because that's my favorite color.
I love those red flags.
I love those red flags. How'd you know? I love that color. You communicate. Your Mercury is also Scorpio, so you communicate like a Scorpio, which means you communicate, supposed to communicate very intensely and precisely and to the point, which is not like you at all.
Complete opposite of me.
Like, I think I'm more intense when I communicate than you are.
I don't communicate at all. Mm-hmm. I just like let it go. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, but that's what it says about you, which is so odd. Yeah.
I feel like I used to be like that when I was younger, but I've learned a lot about myself. Remember I told you that book that I read?
Yeah.
So I learned a lot about myself from that book and like past relationships and
what's the name of the book?
A New Earth by Eric Tolhart.
A New Earth?
A New Earth. Yeah. It's about like
it helps ego with the ego
and personality and why people are the way they are.
Yeah. Frankie told me to read it so I can chill out. And I actually agree with her. Like I do have one of my biggest flaws for me personally, it's my ego. So I actually love that she recommended it because sometimes I think I allow things to get to me because of my ego. Mm-hmm. And once you let go of your ego, so many things don't matter as much as they should. 100%. Okay. And then your Mars, which is the way you fuck and the way you argue, is Sagittarius, which is so crazy.
I don't think the way I fuck and the way I argue is the same.
Again, yeah, that doesn't make sense because Sagittarius, that's a fire sign and you don't.
Well.
Only when you're drunk. I guess when you're drunk, you're Sagittarius.
Yeah, when
comes
I'm
out.
Drunk, I argue like a maniac.
Yeah.
Like, get out of my fucking way. Like, I'll kill you if I'm drunk. But if I'm sober, I don't care.
Yeah.
I guess sex is the same. Like, if I'm sober and I'm having sex, I'm kind of more chill and like I'm more like love making. But if I'm drunk, it's like I'm a fucking maniac. I fuck.
Trust me, guys. Francesca fucks. Like she fucks. and your moon is Aquarius, which is also my moon, which means it means we're very passive with our emotions, which actually that does make sense why we're the way we are in that stuff. So that's what I think you think you communicate then not as intensely. But I'm also very passive with my emotions until I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're chill until you're like.
Yeah, cool. That's what's so scary. I'm so extreme with everything. I'm chill, chill, chill. And then it's just like a blowout.
Yeah.
Oops.
But then after you blow up, you like
calm down.
Yeah. So it's like a little blow up and I'm like, okay, she'll be fine in like a few hours. Like, let her just breathe. And then you like come back and you're like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
like if
I
do something wrong, she like ends up apologizing because she overreacted or like, I don't know, not overreacted.
That's why it's so important. And it always happens. That's why it's so important to know how to handle. It's one thing to be upset, but you have to know how to handle your emotions when you're upset because you end up in situations like me where even though you're right, because of the way you reacted, now you're the one that has to apologize. And that sucks.
Yeah.
I hate apologizing. Anyway. Okay. So let's start with some questions from your followers. Okay. These are some dating questions. What inspires you to be so open and honest with your viewers and fans?
I feel like because I did what I did on Too Hot to Handle. Like, I was very open with how I was, not necessarily in communicating, like I wasn't confrontational to other people, but like sexually, I feel like once you give a blowjob and have sex on TV, there's kind of no holding back in anything else. So now I don't really care.
I see that.
Before the show, I was way more particular about my stories, about my feed posts, about anything I would go online. I would be like, kind of like a fake me. But now I'm just like, everyone saw me. With like the world saw me with no makeup on. Everyone saw me. Well, they didn't see me fuck, but they literally saw me give head.
Yeah.
To an idiot, but still.
It's like, so it's like, so it's like once the whole world saw you suck dick, you're like, at this point, there's nothing
like
else to hide.
The veil was already lifted via the show. So I was like, I might as well just be. And it makes me feel good being myself.
Yeah.
Like it's just easy for me. And sometimes I get a little bit of anxiety before I post video or anything like that. Cause I'm like, fuck, like. People see like the real raw who I am.
Yeah.
And I get nervous that people aren't going to like me, but the response is always really positive. So it's just like more encouraging to be myself.
Yeah. And we've talked about it that like when I sometimes read comments about what people are saying about you, it's literally 90% positive things, and including people who even know you from back home or your childhood. A lot of times I feel like we've talked about it where somebody's like, oh, I used to know that person. She's such a bitch in high school. But with you, it's always like, oh yeah, she's from my hometown. She's the sweetest person ever. She hasn't changed. And I feel like that's what makes me happy. The fact that we're roommates is that you are such a down to earth person.
Thanks.
That's
so sweet.
So sweet. Okay. So let's see. Another question was, does no communication help with moving on? Yes.
Definitely. I think the only way to move on fully is to cut ties completely. And it's going to be the hardest part is going to be the beginning, and not even emotionally to get over. It's going to be really hard not to keep going back to that person. And you have to really focus on not giving in, not drunk texting, none of that. Because once you give in to just like a few texts, then you're going to fall back in and you're going to end up back in his bed. You need to cut ties completely for like at least 3 months until you like can mentally kind of get over it.
What are your thoughts on following someone when you guys stop dating?
No.
Keep following them.
No, it's always an unfollow for me because I don't want to see it. It depends how you end. Like if you end kind of cordial, then it would be different. It depends how long you dated the person for as well. All my relationships have ended pretty explosively. So there's always like a block or a delete or something that is involved.
Yeah. I feel like when I want to be extra dramatic, but being like passive aggressive human, sometimes instead of sending a crazy text, I'll just unfollow them. My favorite thing to do actually when I break up with a guy, which is my favorite thing to do, I always send the same text to every guy when I'm breaking up with them. And it's always this. I actually ended on nice notes. And even though I'm back in my head, I'm like, you piece of shit, you motherfucker, you didn't deserve me, blah, blah. What I send in the text is always the same. If you could see yourself through my eyes, you would see how amazing you are. I wish you nothing but the best. And then every time they're just like, oh my God, that's so sweet. But in the back of my head, I'm just like, if you could see yourself through my eyes, you would know that I think you're a piece of shit. But then on the outside, I always say that because I know it makes them feel a certain way. And I want them to like,
but isn't that going to reinforce their actions?
Because I don't think about that.
Because they're going to be like, oh, I did nothing wrong. Like, I'm great. She thinks I'm fucking awesome.
Regardless.
She's going to come crawling back.
No. Well, A, I'm not going to. But the thing is,
I always do.
Yeah. The thing is, research found that in general in relationships, women tend to blame themselves when a breakup happens, and men, and I'm telling you, this is research, this is not my opinion, and men tend to blame the opposite, their partner. Mm-hmm. So when you go through a breakup, a man tends to be like, well, because she or he did this and this. And a woman tends to blame herself for just how we were raised or whatever. So it's like, oh, I could have done this better, could have done that. So even if you end a breakup on bad notes, if anything, that would make the guy feel like he was more right. But if you just say something really sweet and nice, because when you're going through a breakup, men expect you to break down and go crazy. That's literally the first thing the man expects you, because he needs that to his ego. So when you're sounding calm and nice, not only does it makes them feel question about the fact that like, fuck, should we have really broken up? She's so wise and she's so sweet and she cares about me. And then B, it makes them feel like, does she even give a shit? Because she's not even reacting.
Yeah.
So trust me, I win.
Yeah. I think that in silence would be a proper... I don't know. I mean, I need to probably take that advice, because every time it ends with me, it's fucking explosive.
No, I feel like I do take that advice. And then 2 days later, I'm like, you know what? I think it's so funny that,
you know, I think it's hilarious.
So then I'm just like, fuck. But like, I've been growing as a person. So I feel like more and more.
You literally learn something about yourself every single day.
Yeah. Kill me.
Sorry, you literally learned something about yourself every single day.
That's true. Okay. Somebody asks you, what are your rules for being a bad bitch?
If anyone actually knew, I think it's maybe the way I portray myself on social media kind of makes me seem more of like a bad bitch, but I don't think I am. I think I'm like more sensitive than I portray myself, and I'm more caring than, I don't know. I don't feel like a bad bitch. I feel like a weak ass bitch. Only sometimes I'm like, fuck, I need to like stand up for myself or like not deal with shit, because I do feel like I deal with a lot of shit from,
but I feel like you learn. That's not true. Like there's certain guys recently that did you wrong, and right away you're like, I'm just gonna block him.
But they did do me wrong, and then they did me wrong like 5 times, and then I'm like, okay, I'm blocking him now. But it takes like a while usually.
But that's also like,
well, it's because I'm a romantic. I'm like, oh, I love you.
Yeah, you romanticize what it could be. I'm like that too. I feel like if anything, I push people away too fast. So we've talked about it before, yeah, that I wish it could be in the middle between both of us, you know?
Yeah.
But I think you're still a bad bitch. I feel like your definition, you're being too hard on yourself. I think there's different definitions of a bad bitch. Like a bad bitch is also someone that's successful. Like right now you have your swimsuit line. You have the shows that, like, she's going to have some shows coming out soon for on TV.
You're just amping me up. I love this.
That's what friends are for. And she's just starting OnlyFans, which we're going to talk about that too. And that's like popping like crazy. So you guys should check out her OnlyFans, and we'll talk about it shortly too.
About that stuff.
But you have so much going on. Like, that's a bad bitch. Like, you're independent. You're your own person.
I appreciate that. Yeah, in that sense, I'm a fucking bad bitch. But in, like, my emotional sense.
You're just being hard on yourself. Because if I, like, start to look at every single negative or rejection, I would feel the same way. But I think it's about how you react. Like, if you just don't care and you're like, yeah, it happened. I had a weak moment. Wow, literally, they're fucking lost. Moving on.
Yeah. Sometimes it just takes, like, a minute to realize that. I feel like in any situation and the fact that
there's no penis in your mouth right now, from all those shitty men that you dated, that shows that you're a bad bitch. Look at you, sipping tea instead of dick.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Sorry, too much crutch words. Okay, somebody asked, what is the worst sexual experience you guys have ever had?
Oh, fuck. I take bad sex way better than my friends take bad sex. Like, my friends get bad sex, they're like, fuck that guy, I'm never talking to him again. But if I get bad sex, I'm like, oh, but they were nice. Like, maybe I'll do it again. Like, maybe I can teach them a bit. Like, maybe I'll give it a couple more chances. Like, who knows? Oh, the dick was small. That's fine. I can work with it. But anyone else is like, ew, small dick.
Really? No, I feel like once they're inside of me, I'm just like, we're together forever.
We are.
I don't care how long. I don't care how big, small their dick is. I'm just like, you were inside of me. Like, we're together, together.
We're dating. Right? You're my boyfriend.
You're my boyfriend. Like,
yeah, but you don't sleep with guys until you're like officially dating them, though.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. I can't say the same about myself.
No, but you're having. No, I wish I could be more like that. But for me, I feel like I just end up getting in my head. I'm working so much on myself that I don't need some stupid sexual experience where I don't even come and it takes me completely backwards in my head on my self-worth. Like, I can't do that right now. As you all know, I'm a big advocate for mental health and taking care of yourself first before you try to take care of everyone else, which is why I'm introducing my next sponsor of the day. It is BetterHelp, one of my favorite sponsors. Basically, we're all sitting at home these days and there's a lot of uncertainty about the world around us. It's understandable to feel anxious. That's why now more than ever, you need to remember to take care of your mental health. That's why BetterHelp Online Counseling is here to help. They offer licensed professional therapists who are trained to listen to help with issues including anxiety, depression, relationship issues, LGBT matters, family conflicts, and so much more. All you have to do is fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with your counselor in under 48 hours. You can easily schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages to communicate with your therapist at your convenience. And everything you share is confidential. You can request a new counselor at any time and no additional charge if for whatever reason you're not happy with yours. So why not join over the 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor? BetterHelp is an affordable option and you can get it for 10% off of your first month with the discount code TOOTIRED. So get started today at betterhelp.com/TOOTIRED. Talk to a therapist online today and get the help that you need. Okay, next question is how to get over the guy who friend zoned you. Take space from him.
See, for me, I would just like be persistent until he unfriend zones you. Like, make a move, risk being shut down and get it over with instead of, like, just chilling in the friend zone, like, watching him hook up with other girls.
Okay, so, yeah, there's two ways. One, you can try again. You can get drunk.
Make him jealous, too.
Yes. You can get drunk, try again, and then your excuse the next day if he rejects you again is like, oh, shit, what happened last night? I don't remember. Two, you can start to make him jealous because boys are so stupid sometimes that they just don't even realize feelings until you make them jealous or you find a new person. Then they're just like, oh, shit, I've been in love with you this whole time.
This literally happened to one of my friends. She was dating a guy and he like wasn't that into her, but she was so in love with him. And she broke up with him because he wasn't like reciprocating it. And then right when she went off and did her own thing, he came crawling back. And now he's so obsessed with her. And now she's like, meh, kind of over it. But it took her like doing her own thing for him to realize, holy fuck, I'm in love with this girl. And then
it's so true. That actually is the case. But then if all that doesn't work out and you still have feelings for your friend, which actually happened to me years ago, you have to take space and you have to do your own thing and you have to kind of you know, get over it before you guys can be friends again, because it is like a bruise to the ego, and it is going to be hard for you to be around him when he's talking to other girls. Yeah. And it's nothing personal. A lot of the times guys just can't understand. A lot of the times guys can't process the whole thing with like moving from friendship to dating, because it always feels more serious when you're about to date a friend. Because you're just, all you have to do is add in the sex, and not every guy's going to be ready for that like lifetime relationship. And that's what it feels like when it has to do with a good friend.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. What are your do's and don'ts on a first date?
Do stalk his social media.
That's your do?
Do. I always stalk the social media.
Okay.
Send it all to my best friends. I'm like, is he cute? Is he cute? Remember I sent you a guy today?
No, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I was like, yes or no? Smell him. If he smells bad, then it's a no. I'm really bad at this because I don't really have any.
You just go and sniff him on the first date?
You give him a hug, smell him. Obviously, like, I would say don't have sex with him, like, on the first date, but... My friends have told me not to have sex with someone on the first date, but I know going into it that I'm going to anyways. It depends the conversation leading up to it. Like, sometimes you got to figure it out right away, because if there's no sexual chemistry there, then you can just move on. But if you're genuinely interested in keeping something long term with someone, you shouldn't have sex with them on the first date. Like, I'm definitely not I don't really follow that rule as much as I should, but that is definitely a huge rule. Like, if you want to keep someone around, don't fuck them on the first date.
I feel like it used to be different. I feel like back in the past, because I'm still trying to understand what happened, what changed. But I feel like back then in the old days, if you fucked on the first day, you can actually still be boyfriend, girlfriend. That's where you still hear stories about like, oh yeah, we kept dating. And it's happened to me too when like I don't think I fucked any of those guys on the first day. I don't remember, but like pretty fast with my boyfriends. But I feel like something changed. And I don't know if it's because now there's so many options and dating sites, and even Instagram is like a dating thing, but something changed. And for some reason now, in my opinion, if you do fuck on the first day and you didn't know each other before, it may not, most likely may not become like a relationship. It's different if you've been good friends for a long time and then you fuck because you built that friendship. But I think something weirdly changed, and it really is something now that like, because there's so many options, if you fuck on the first day, the guy may lose interest.
There's so many options, and don't go too far down the rabbit hole and creeping all of his ex-girlfriends, such as toxic. And also look to see if he has cute friends.
Okay, do's and don'ts. My do's and don'ts for first day is actually don't stalk his social media. I think it's better to not like get too much in your head, because then if you stalk his social media and a bunch of girls are commenting on his Instagram. Although one time I didn't stalk a guy's social media and he was engaged. And we went out, we made out, and then I was waiting for him to text me back. And then I told my friends about him. They're like, wait, the guy who just proposed to his girlfriend, that guy? And I was like, what? He's engaged?
I think the benefits of stalking outweigh the negatives, because you can learn so much about someone really quick. And you can see definitely red flags off the bat if you stalk. That's
maybe
what I would
briefly
do.
Stalk his Instagram,
like,
but not crazy.
If I stalked his Instagram and every single photo is him holding a steak, I would be like, no, I'm not even going to fuck with you.
Oh, because you're vegan.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were stalking him and every single picture is like him holding a knife, you're like, maybe this isn't for me. Because he's probably a murderer.
He probably will slit my throat, but I'm into that.
You're just like, that makes me like him so much more.
Beat me up, please.
And also, I like to masturbate before I go out on a date. Mm-hmm. And I think it's for boys and girls, because it kind of takes away the sexual tension. So then you're also not too horny on the date.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also like to masturbate after like long flights and just in general.
Apparently you're supposed to masturbate when you're hungover, because it gets rid of your headache. According to my friend.
I do masturbate when I have a headache.
I think you just masturbate all the time.
I think I actually do. I know, because as I'm talking about it, I'm just like...
I masturbate when I wake up. I masturbate after lunch. I masturbate before bed. I masturbate in the middle of the night. In the shower, after the shower, before the shower. I'm confused.
I can't handle the grossest thing that I did to Francesca. She's so chill about it. I'm so embarrassed. Is that like... I'll just say it.
She masturbated in my bed.
Wait, but Francesca wasn't there.
No, I wasn't there. Imagine I was sleeping and she's just beside me going at it.
It's because I drank something that had okay, guys, I don't like Molly, but I drank something that had Molly in it. So when I went back home, her dog was out of control. So I went in Francesca's bed to take care of her dog. But I'm like completely out of it. And I was feeling really sick too. I was like throwing up from the Molly. But then I was just like, oh shit, I heard that sex is better when you're a Molly. So I'm like, let's go. There's no one to have sex with. So I just fully naked in Francesca's bed using the vibrator on myself. And then I just like, I can't come because I'm so out of it. And then I just forget about the vibrator. And I think I should put on the pillow or something. I don't know. I put it next to me.
I came home to grab Romy to bring him to an after party. And then I walk in, you're just like chilling there naked. I'm like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? You're like, yeah, Romy, alone. I cuddle with him.
No, I hear her coming inside the house and I freaked out. I suddenly opened my eyes and I was like, fuck the vibrator. And I don't know what to do with it. So then I like wrapped it in my clothes or something. And then I tried to jump out of the bed and she walks in and I'm fully naked. And she's like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I need some alone time. I need to go. And she was just like, she's like, oh my God, don't go. You can stay. We can cuddle. And I was like, no, I need alone time. Cause in my head, I was like, oh my fucking God, my vibrator. Like, this is so embarrassing. And I'm fully naked too.
Oh my God.
I was just so out of it.
I think it's hilarious.
At least you weren't mad.
No, I think it's hilarious.
Thank you so much. Anyway. Okay. So next question. Dun, dun, dun. What are your thoughts on Alex Cooper and the shit she's spewing about you?
Okay, so I never watched the podcast or listened to the podcast. I had multiple people in a few day period come to me and tell me information about stuff that they were hearing on the podcast. I have a lot of fan accounts that literally dig dirt about me every single day, and they tell me if there's something that is need to know information. I tell them, don't tell me anything that they don't think I need to know, but they told me all of them were sending me these screenshots or these recordings or whatever of specific things throughout the podcast. And I was like, I'm still not going to listen to it. Like, this is pretty fucked up. And then I was realizing more and more that I was like, wait, did she actually like call me an escort? Like, I was just really confused. And like, I don't know her. I didn't even know what she looked like. I don't listen to Call Her Daddy. I keep saying watch, but it's a podcast. So I don't know anything about it. I knew when I was dating Harry that he was like obsessed with them, and he was like, oh, imagine how crazy it would be if I could go on their podcast. So obviously he was like coming in his pants that he was there. But I don't know her. I've never spoken to her in my entire life, so I don't know that why she felt the need to like spew like just blatant lies about someone she literally doesn't even know. And Harry definitely knows that I've never been an escort or done anything like that, so I'm not sure why he sat there and like kind of let her say shit like that. I mean, I guess he would never defend me because we're on such bad terms, but I feel like it was like premeditated that they were gonna start spewing that shit, probably because people were telling me that she would also say about herself how she used to be one or something like that.
No, she didn't. Okay, so here's the thing. I also didn't listen to it, but people kept DMing me. And first, I didn't even want to tell Francesca because yeah. I was feeling bad. So I didn't say anything to Frankie, and I was hoping she wouldn't find out when I found out. Mm-hmm. And then I responded to a few fans saying stuff to me, and I was just like, that's not even worth it for me to like tell Francesca because I don't want her feelings hurt. But then I purposely reposted on my stories with a swipe up for our interview. So if you guys want to check out my old interview with Francesca from, yeah, I forgot the name of the episode. I have to look it up. But anyway, like, I did links for that because she literally explains her side of the story. And I thought it was really messed up as an interviewer to not even look up Francesca and more information, to not even look up like her side of the story. So I was really confused how it can be such a supposedly pro woman empowerment podcast, and she's trying to put down somebody. Even if Francesca was a sex worker, which she's not, but let's say she was, why would you put her down for that? Like, this is 2020. And like, I'm sorry, but if you're a girl and you go on trips the men pay for, you're the same as an escort. That is literally being an escort, which I'm pretty sure Alex does all the time. So like, to try to pretend, to think that you're better than somebody else by putting them down just shows that you have nothing to offer. Like, if the best thing about you is putting someone else down, then you're nothing. And that's how I felt. Cause I mean, I've literally talked about it on the Dumb Bitch Bootcamp series about like how women sometimes tend to put other women down to try to like think they're the best. It's like, yeah, Harry may think you're cool for a second, want to fuck you, but he still would probably try to fuck Francesca too. You think guys give a shit if you put another woman down? They look at you and they think you're an idiot and they'll still fuck you, but they still think you're an idiot and they'll still fuck the other girl that you talk shit about, period.
Yeah. I feel like maybe some of the things that she was also, I appreciate how heated you're getting. I love you so much. But I feel like she probably was, one of the reasons she was saying shit about me was to get more on Harry's good side, because a lot of the other interviews I was listening to, or I wasn't listening, a lot of the other interviews that I heard about him doing, the girls, the interviewers were also kind of bashing me, which had made no sense, because if you really look at what actually happened, no one has any reason to bash me because I did nothing wrong.
Not to mention, and okay, so by the way, the name of the episode that Francesca came on my podcast the first time she did an interview was called Boy by Francesca Farago, and then she literally says her side of the story with Harry.
Not the complete side. I left a lot of the stuff
out. Not the complete side, but like literally, because we're good friends and she lives with me, there's so much stuff that Francesca knows about Harry that could literally ruin his career. When she said, I could ruin his career if I wanted to, she meant it, because I know what she's talking about. And the fact that she's been so such a good person, keeping silent, even though he's walking around calling her an escort and saying all these other diminishing things of her name and all that, and then allowing Alice to talk shit about her, like, honestly, all the power to Francesca. Like, I'm surprised she hasn't even like revealed all that stuff, because he would literally be ruined if she said what she really knows.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom. I still won't say it, but maybe.
No, you don't need to, because it's not, it's whatever, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the only reason I ever need to come forward and say stuff is to say my side of the story to defend myself in situations that are complete bullshit, which is what's happening right now. Like, there is people tweeting being like, I Googled stuff to find about Francesca, whatever, escorting, and we think she paid for cyber blocking or whatever.
Yeah, wow, like how much did she pay to block it? First of all,
nothing.
It's 2020. every girl goes on vacation with guys that is like an escort. Second of all, what even is an escort? Third of all, like, I just do better. Like, we're women. Like, we shouldn't be putting each other down or like trying to make women feel bad about their sexuality. Just like I talk about, you know, don't have sex on the first day, I'm also not going to put you down if you do have sex on the first day, because do whatever you want. And also, Francesca has no reason to be ashamed of anything that she does, because she's really proud of her body. And like, she's literally talked about being on Too Hot to Handle. You saw her talking about sexual things. So it's like, why would she then hide if she was an escort or not? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, 2020, it's all about OnlyFans. So are we really still going to sit back and then put a girl down for being an escort, even as if it's such a bad thing, when there's OnlyFans? Every single girl's on OnlyFans. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
But she also not an escort, wasn't an escort.
No. I just don't think it makes sense for this person to say things about me when she literally has no idea who I am. And has never spoken one word to me. And there's literally nothing, like, you have no evidence to prove any of your points, because they're all not valid. So
honestly, it's just embarrassing. Like, I feel like
it just doesn't make sense. Like, what was the purpose of you to even say those things? For views? Did you want a reaction? Like,
yeah.
The only way that you're relevant is to still talk about me. It's just embarrassing for you. And the only reason I ever do is to defend myself. So
yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I feel like
it's also been like fucking 6 months, and I'm fucking over having people to send me shit that Harry's been saying about me. It's fucking pathetic, and I'm really over it. So
yeah,
if it happens again, it won't be pretty.
Yeah. And I just feel like she obviously did it because she wanted a reaction out of you. And it's unfortunate that we had no choice but to like bring this up, because people wouldn't stop asking. Mm-hmm. But she also like started drama with TikTok people as well. So I feel like, because she's moving to LA, I think she's trying to, I don't know, in my opinion, like starting drama with people in order to become famous never works out that well. Uh-uh. Like, I don't know. I mean,
it's not a good look. Those people have sorry for interrupting. Those people have nothing else, as you said, they have nothing else to bring to the table but bringing other people down. That's the only thing they have to bring to the table is their opinions, their negative opinions. So at the end of the day, they're not going to keep traction that way. They're not going to keep fame that way. And people are just going to not look up to them.
I mean, I thought she was okay until she made those comments about Francesca. And I'm, like I said before, like, it's one thing if you talk shit about me, like, I'll get over it. I don't care. But like, don't talk about my nice friends.
You're such a good friend.
My non-confrontational friends, like, I'm the confrontational friend, so I will come for you. Like, it's so unnecessary. Also, you know, I'm very team Sophia, so that's also
we
that.
We should hang out with her.
Yeah, actually, Sophia used to be on the podcast, Call Her Daddy. She came to LA and she was going to stay with us. You just didn't know, but we flew to Miami the next day when she found out she was coming to LA. But she would have stayed with us. We would have had a lot of fun. So I invited Sophia. Sophia's always welcome to stay with us, whatever. And we're trying to figure it out. Like, it's been a secret, but we've been trying to figure out for Sophia to come on my podcast and for me to come on her podcast. So I am excited for that.
Yeah.
She seems like a cool girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to our last sponsor of the day. It is Psychic Source App. Are you curious about your future, your love life, or just these crazy times of uncertainty? Well, let the Psychic Source help you with life's difficult questions. Psychic Source is a 24/7 phone, online chat, and video psychic service. They have been providing psychic readings for over 30 years to people just like you. They have over 300 of the most experienced, genuinely gifted psychics in the world and are available to you right now. So right now, go to Apple or Google Play and download the Psychic Source app and create your account. If you're a first-time Psychic Source customer, you can save up to 80% off of your first live reading. But be sure to use my promo code Violet. That's V-I-O-L-E-T when you sign up. You can get a 10-minute reading for as low as $10. Plus, you'll get free 3 minutes on your first paid reading. Once done, is then a simple push of a button with access to more discounts, more readings, more messaging, more appointments, more real-time return call, and you can keep track of your favorite psychics. Psychic Source offers free online insights like tarot readings, decoding your dreams, compatibility with a loved one, horoscopes, or to learn about your life path numbers. Let the gifted professional advisors of Psychic Source give you some peace of mind. So don't forget to use my promo code Violet when you sign up to have your first reading, or you can call 1-800-355-9214 and mention my promo code Violet for your first discount. So that's 1-800-355-9214. Thank me later. If you can answer this, but where is the craziest place you've ever had sex at?
I get asked this a lot. I've said this a few times. Well, Netflix, like having to sex on national television,
yeah,
is crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
But besides that, I had sex in a waterfall in Costa Rica, in a public waterfall with a bunch of people around, and a lot of people probably saw, but this was before anyone knew who I was, so no one cared.
Or did they get people opening their eyes in the water?
Like, there was a waterfall, and we were, like, kind of
everyone gets
away
a pink
from
eye. Everyone that, like, dived in and got a pink eye.
No, it wasn't in my butt. We were, like, behind a rock, and we were, like, banging, and he had a GoPro, and we were filming it. And if he's not going to watch this, but people that know me are going to know who I'm talking about. And, yeah, we banged. And then I ended up giving my dad that GoPro, like, 2 years later. And then I had to text my mom and be, like, delete the SIM card.
So your mom had to see it first?
No,
delete
she didn't
it?
See. She just took out the SIM card.
Oh my God.
I mean, everyone, she already watched me fuck anyways, so.
Oh, on TV.
Yeah.
It wasn't like showing.
No, true. Thank fucking. I mean, they couldn't have showed it because it was 10 seconds anyways.
Ooh. My craziest place to have sex at? I don't remember. I haven't had sex in so long, but I feel like maybe in a public jacuzzi, and also maybe like
in yeast infection.
Actually, correct. Yeah, I got a yeast infection after.
Those are the worst.
Or like also like at this Palm Springs hotel like forever ago, and it was literally outside. I realized people in their rooms could see us, and also maybe in a cab.
Oh shit! What? I've never. That's like an Uber.
It was no. It was when there were cabs like years ago with my ex-boyfriend. Okay.
How'd you manage that? Just like hop on top?
Yeah, but it's not like you don't finish. Like you just
no,
to see if it can go inside of you. Just
yeah.
for fun if it goes inside
yeah,
of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like it either goes inside of you or he's going to probably dump me. And I was so insecure. I was just like, hope he stays with me. So I guess if this is what I need to do.
Okay.
Yeah, good times. But but I feel like, or in a club bathroom.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My ex-boyfriend used to own a bar, so we would bang all over that place.
I don't remember. I feel like I'm into like trying it, being wild in different places. It's just excitement. Yeah. It's not actually finishing. It's just like put your dick inside of me really quick.
Yeah, it depends who it is and how like into that person you are as well.
I was so into my ex-boyfriend, yeah, because I didn't love myself. Good times. Okay, I don't know if you're gonna answer this, but are you still friends with Tana even though she hangs out with your ex?
No.
Okay. When did you guys stop being friends?
right when she posted that TikTok.
With your ex?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I've talked about this briefly before. It was shady and I don't need that in my life. It was like also hurtful as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it did work out though, because it literally did kind of make me and Bella closer. And now, like, I love Bella. I think she's amazing. She's so fucking nice to me. So it worked out that that happened, because I have like a great friend now, great person in my life.
Actually, yeah. Shout out to Bella Thorne. We're both actually very fond of her. Francesca more than me in a lot of different ways. But like, we're both really fond of her. She really grew on me. I feel like it takes me a while to get used to people, for sure. And she thought I was so mean for so long. But like, she finally realized I'm nice. But Bella is, honestly, we were talking about it. Like, LA friends can be, so many people can be so shitty, but Bella is one of the most giving people we've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
She's just so kind and so giving, and she tries so hard to make the people in her life happy.
Yeah. She goes above and beyond, for sure.
Yeah. So I am very thankful that Francesca has Bella in
her
life. She
treats me better than like any other person.
Bella literally treats Francesca better than any guy. She's like, 100. It's crazy.
She blows every single other guy out of the water.
I know.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bella. Okay. Would you ever date / fuck each other? If yes, why are you not dating, having sex together? Okay, Melvina. I feel like dating, it's hard to date each other if you also live in the same house together.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, I feel like you can't date somebody you live with, because then you're literally living, like, it's like 7 steps ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can't, like, that would be weird.
Yeah. Second of all, like, I feel like we actually made out again in Miami. We were fighting. We fought before we went to Miami, low key.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't even sure if I was going to go. And then I went to Miami and we met up. And on the third night, we made up. And then we made out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was being really romantic. I was like inside someplace. And then this one girl kept trying to kiss me. And I was just like, suddenly in my head, I was like, no, I don't want this. I want Frankie. And I walked out like super dramatic, because it's just who I was a person. I walked out while Frankie's standing outside with like some guy. I grabbed her. I turned around. I grabbed her and I started kissing her. And then she was just like, oh my God.
And then you turn to the guy and you're like, she's coming home with me tonight.
Anyway, 5 seconds later, he grabbed her and she took her home. So then I was like, fuck. No, that's not what I meant. Shit. They went to sleep. That's not what I meant. I just meant like, he got scared.
Hey, I'm single as fuck. So I feel like, who knows if we're ever going to have sex? We might. I would love to.
Really?
I guess I make my move next time we're like super drunk.
Maybe I feel like I'm the one that has to make a move on you now.
Why?
Because the most recent time we tried to kiss, even though we were like doing it for Tokyo, we're both like giggling like two school girls.
And we were sober as fuck.
Yeah. So obviously when we were drunk, oh my God, Frankie, me and our friend Kira had a 3-way kiss. Mm-hmm. It was the best kiss
it was
we've
a
ever
great
had.
Kiss, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Hyani tried to join in, and then it was 4 of us, and I was like, please exit. Exit the kiss.
It did not work out, but we literally had the best 3-way kiss.
That was the best time ever in Miami. I know we got some hate for it because of...
No, but we were only with close friends, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And we got COVID tested before we went. And then we got COVID tested and we came back.
Every single day when we were there, too.
Yeah, so. We're going getting COVID tested again tomorrow. And we've been quarantining. That's like, we do take this stuff seriously.
Yeah.
And we've been quarantining. We're planning on quarantining for the next 2 weeks. Now that we're back from Miami, it's very important for us. Somebody asked, what if he doesn't want any sex?
He's gay.
I'm just going to make that joke, but yeah.
I had a friend whose ex, they dated for a long time, a couple years, and he stopped having sex with her, and then she started finding it somewhere else. So I feel like if your guy's not fucking you, then he's either finding it somewhere else, and then you're going to end up finding it somewhere else. I don't know. I feel like sex is really important to a relationship, unless you go into it mutually agreeing that you're not going to have sex.
Yeah.
For like religious reasons or like personal reasons or whatever.
No, but you're also very sexual. So am I. I think like I have a friend, her and her boyfriend, fiance, barely have sex. and they're both okay with it. They're both not that sexual, really. So they're okay with it. So I think it just depends. Like, but it does suck if you go into a relationship, both of you having a lot of sex, and then it starts being less and less. Mm-hmm. But I think what's important is to communicate. Because it's like, maybe he's on new antidepressants, and the antidepressants are keeping him from getting his dick hard. Maybe he realized he liked men. That's totally a joke, by the way. Maybe he's less attracted to you. Maybe he's not into the relationship anymore. Maybe he's cheating. So I think communication is key versus just like having all these bad thoughts about why he's not having sex with you. Maybe it's more simple than you think.
Like, you really need to talk it out, because it's just going to eat at you. And that's like not a good feeling of feeling not desired, especially.
Yeah. A lot of times men, if they are not doing well at work, or like they feeling less about themselves, they also have less of a sexual energy, like desire, whatever, to have sex. So you should figure it out. Yeah.
But
one time I was dating a guy that wasn't really into sex, and even my mother, my sweet little, like, not religious, but she's definitely like, would it proper, my sweet little proper mother was like, Violeta, you need to break up with him. You're going to cheat on him. I know you. And I was like, do you know me? And she's like, pardon?
Same thing.
Yeah. Like, it's true. If you're the kind of person that you need sex, then that should be a no-brainer that you should be with someone else that needs a lot of sex. Like, you have to ask for what you want. Like, you stopped. Like, one of my ex-boyfriends was literally so bad in bed. I wasn't even that attracted to him. He lived far away from me, and there were so many negatives, but then I just liked having a boyfriend, so we stayed together. But it's like, I've learned that that's stupid. If I'm really into sex, then I want to date somebody else that's really into sex. Yeah. Have to truly tell if a guy likes you more than a friend and / hookup.
He doesn't. If you're
you
asking,
have to ask.
He doesn't.
That's actually true. You're right.
From my experience, like, even if he says that he does, he probably doesn't.
He doesn't.
So recently, I had a guy that I've been hanging out and talking to him since the summertime, and I really liked him, and I thought there was definitely something more there than the average person that you're talking to. Like, I felt it, and I felt like a deeper connection to this person mentally and sexually. And we went into a fight and we stopped talking. And then he came back into my life and was persistent on us trying again. So I was like, for sure, for sure. I give in, and then I bang him, and then basically blows up in my face because I think that that's all that he wanted. And he made it seem like there was more there, and that he was interested in me just so I would like give in. And then right when I gave in, it was like there was no interest there at all. Did I say that properly? You know the situation.
Yeah, you didn't fully say it properly, but like, I get what you're saying. That's from your perspective. Obviously, as your friend, I'm like, no, but he did like you, blah, blah. But you're just seeing more black and white. And I agree. Like, even on her birthday, he didn't even wish her like really happy birthday. And it was just like,
happy birthday at all.
Yeah. And they literally banged like the week before, and he was trying to make more plans with her, pretending like he liked her so much. And she finally gave in. They were all cute with each other. So it's literally these guys these days. Like, so at this point, even if he's responding to all your stories, even if he's calling and texting you, even if he's telling you he likes you so much, even if he's hanging out with you again, even if he's coming inside of you, it still doesn't mean that you guys are boyfriend, girlfriend until he asks you to be his girlfriend.
Or that he even likes you.
Or that he even likes you. It's honestly insane, but it's the truth.
Yeah. You need to never keep all your eggs in one basket, especially with guys, because I watched a TikTok and the guy was saying the chances of it not working out is like 90%. And you just have to kind of accept that like most guys you talk to, it's not going to work out, and you can't like get your hopes up and can't be disappointed by everything that doesn't work out, because a lot of it won't nowadays.
Okay. I think that's a bad mindset to have, because any person you're dating, you enter and you're just like, oh, it's not going to work out. I don't think that should be your mindset, but I agree about having a mindset where you have no expectations. So when you go into something with someone, you have no expectations. That's how you're able to be chill throughout the whole thing. And you don't notice if they don't text you or call you back yet, because you're not really full on like boyfriend, girlfriend. So a lot of things you just won't notice as much. And you're able to like have a clean mind throughout the whole thing. Like once you start having expectations, then you're like, well, you should have done this and you should have done that. And then it doesn't work out.
I feel like just the last like five people that I've talked to have been such a fucking disappointment that I'm just like, everybody fucking sucks. It's easier for me to just go into it thinking that it's gonna be a disappointment, because it usually is. But that's a poor mindset to have, as you just said. But I feel like a lot of my situations have been disappointments that I'm just like.
Here's, if you guys have been listening to the Dumb Bitch Bootcamp, this is from number two, if I remember correctly. But it literally says that what you put out into the world, you attract.
Shit.
So then when you're constantly thinking like all the guys I date are cheaters or all the guys suck and they're a disappointment, you're literally telling these are the men I want to date. And the universe is just bringing you what you keep talking about, what you keep thinking. And that's why a lot of times when women are like, all I date is cheaters, I don't get it. It's like, yeah, bitch, you're attracting it because you won't stop talking about it. Mm-hmm. So when you're saying everyone I'm dating is a disappointment, you're literally attracting disappointments.
Shit.
Yeah.
Well then.
I'm not even dating, period. So I don't like, I need to start, like, I need to start dating if I want to continue also my series. Cause I, now I need to find my good guy in order for me to continue my series to show that actually works everything I've been saying. But I will tell you one thing that my Dumb Bitch Bootcamp has helped me, and that's not to date shitty men anymore. So maybe like I'm dating less now, but that's because I'm thinning out the pool of the great men that I want to be with, that I want to end up with. Like I'm not wasting my time on men that I feel like are just on the same level as me. Not that I'm better than anyone else. That's not what I mean. But the level that I mean is like I'm the best version of myself because I keep continuously working myself. So then I'm looking for a man that's also the best version of himself. I'm not looking to fix anyone anymore. I'm not looking to change anyone anymore. I'm not looking for some soft story, like none of that shit.
Yes.
Like I want you to be the best as you can be. And then we can
come together. In my interview today, I said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like literally basically word for word.
Yeah. That's exactly what I want. Cause I feel like it's always like, he has so much potential. No, I'm not dating your potential. I'm not dating a soft story. I'm not dating your struggle story. Yeah. I'm sorry. Figure it out. And then we can date when you figured it out. Cause I figured my own shit out already. Yeah. You know, all my past trauma, I dealt with it. I lived it. I forgave myself. I moved on. Now I'm ready to date somebody who's like whole as a person as well. How do you tell a guy that you want to be more than casual?
See, I don't know. I'm a really bad person to ask because my initial instinct to that is to just like make a move and kiss him.
No, more than casual. That means you guys are probably already fucking.
Oh.
Probably being casual with each other. How do you become more? Like, do you communicate? Do you ghost? Like, what do you do? Obviously,
like, subtle like hints here and there.
Yeah. People always say to communicate, and I wish I could agree with it. But I feel like whenever the girl, it's a girl that puts it out there, unless you're dating a stellar man who you communicate, and then they're like, yeah, you know what? We should be boyfriend, girlfriend. We should be more together, more than casual. I feel like most of the time, if you bring up to a guy, like even if the guy wanted to be serious with you, the minute you bring it up, they're like, oh my God, like commitment. I'm not ready for it. So in my opinion,
it has to be their idea.
It has to be their idea. So you either have to plant little seeds around for them to think it's his idea, or you have to suddenly take a step back. So then they're missing you. And then suddenly they want you around all the time. You have to make them jealous a little without actually talking to other men. Cause that's fucked up in a way that they're like, wait, what is she up to? Like they call you like, I have someone on the other line. Let me call you back. And then you don't call them back. And then they're like, wait, who was on the other line? No one was on the other line. It's your commitment that was on the other line and you're waiting for him to commit to you. So I think it's subtle hints. And then he thinks it's his idea when he asks you out.
It's like a science to it, and you need to make it seem like it was his idea, and he needs to be like, like either jealous or like worried that he can lose you, and that would be the reason he makes the move, I guess.
And I hate admitting that because it sounds so toxic, but trust me, the whole communicating thing, I've done that. That is one thing that I was always mature about when it comes to communicating that we should be something more. It's never worked for me.
My last thing that I had, I asked him to be my boyfriend. And it lasted 24 hours.
Yeah. So it has to be their idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did you create an OnlyFans?
Drum roll, please.
Money. Okay.
I didn't think you were going to be that honest.
I thought you were like, because I want to empower women and...
I do enjoy, like when I had my website, I did enjoy like getting to know people better. And I feel like because I am so open, I like talking to people more and stuff like that and giving them more like a different side of me. And I've been thinking about doing OnlyFans for ages now, and everyone's been being like, you need to get it. Like, can you get it, please? Like, we want to be able to connect more with you on a deeper level or whatever. Obviously, it's like mainly sexual. But yeah, I just decided that it was time to give the people what they want.
Yeah. And plus, Instagram sucks lately. So I feel like OnlyFans just makes more sense to have a new platform where you can interact with people and you can post more photos and you don't have to worry about like engagement on those photos or getting taken down.
Instagram's so bad lately. It gives me anxiety. And I know there was a person that commented on my last photo that I posted and said, why are you encouraging like younger girls to use their body? And there was a few comments on the photo that were like backing me up, being like, oh, like she's doing what she wants to do, like she's empowering herself. And I don't see sexuality as just one-sided. But
plus, you're not posting nudes, like full on nudes.
No, there's
like OnlyFans, it's not what people think anymore. You can literally do, there's like a really popular cooking show on OnlyFans and the girl doesn't even get naked. So it's not, I feel like the cool thing about celebrities like Francesca, like Bella Thorne, other people getting on OnlyFans is they're showing that it's like just more exclusive content for people who don't want to see a bunch of ads on Instagram.
Well, I am signed with Bella's agency as well. I just signed with her agency, and already so far, like, we've organized 4 shoots in the next few weeks. So we're doing like a picnic shoot, we're doing a cooking shoot, we're doing a holiday shoot, we're doing all this fun stuff that like we have mood boards for. And it's like really exciting because I get to literally do these fun, awesome shoots that wouldn't be good for Instagram. They would get no likes or whatever. It would just stress me out. And I can provide that to people who want to see more of me. And yeah, they pay a little bit for it, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to charge $50 for a picture of me in a bikini. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not going to do stuff like that, but I'm going to make sure that it's classy and tasteful. And I get to literally, like, I spend a lot of the day chatting with people on it as well. And I love being able to talk to people. And everyone's so, like, the people that I've been talking to so far are so nice. Like, I feel like I'm going to make friends off of it.
Yeah.
Which is
weird.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that for you. So everyone, please go check out her OnlyFans and make sure to sign up.
It's free.
It's free. It's free right now. So if you go right now and sign up, women and men, it's free.
It's free.
So check it out. Is it just Francesca Farrago?
Francesca.Farrago, yeah.
Francesca.Farrago.
Yeah, because...
Have I been pronouncing your last name wrong?
Everyone pronounces it Farrago, don't worry. Everybody. It's not just you, it's
Farrago.
Everybody.
Okay, moving on. What's your worst dating experience?
Harry Jowsey.
Period.
That's all I gotta say.
Just 2 words. Period. That's it. Okay. Wait. They're asking about your birthday injury, but I'm wondering, should we save that for your YouTube? Should we tell people?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, Francesca and I both celebrate our birthdays in Miami with close friends, but Francesca, I went home and Francesca really celebrated her birthday with a bang, aka ended up in the hospital, which is like the perfect way to end a birthday. She had a concussion.
I still have a concussion.
She got a concussion. She still has a concussion, and she ripped her ear open and she needed stitches for that.
My ear was like dangling.
Yes, but we did film a YouTube video, so you guys should check it out. The vlog from Miami and in general and what actually happened, and she'll do story time with her injury. It'll be on her YouTube channel.
And the scar is really cool.
Pardon?
The scar is really cool.
The scar is really cool. So check it out on YouTube, Francesca Farrago. And it's going to be our birthday vlog. So I'm in it too. So check it out. And she'll talk more about that there. What's your biggest turn off on a first date or in general?
You want to go first with this one?
My biggest turnoff on a first date, well, I have a few. A, if a guy has wondering eyes, I would get really turned off because it's like, if it's not about me, why am I here? B, another turnoff, if a guy's rude to the waiter or the help or anything like that, big turn off. I don't like that. I'm uncomfortable that I'm even out with this person. Like, why are you not a nice person? I don't like that. Another turn off of mine can be if we're not vibing that well and they're touching me too much. And that's a first date. And you're like, why are you touching me so much?
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be as much as because I would just tell him to stop. But I think the other two are more of a turn off for me.
If you have to tell him to stop, though, that
I guess, yeah, you're right. He has, like, no social cues.
Yeah.
What's another turnoff that I have on a first date? If they talk about their ex a lot, which is actually what I do sometimes.
Unless you ask about it,
I'm turning myself off.
Unless you ask about it, though.
I never do, because I don't care. Okay. And you shouldn't ask about an ex either. Like, it's actually, it's like, who cares? That's the past.
People always ask about past relationships, I find.
I don't. Like, I'll ask really briefly. If they bring it up, I just nod my head and I'm just like, next. Because it's the past. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Wait, what's another turn off except wondering eyes? Oh, if they're on their phone a lot, that turns me off because I'm not on my phone at all when I'm with people. What about you?
Everything you just said, I agree with 100%. Rude to waiters, wandering eyes, I don't really care about. On their phone too much, not picking up on social cues, stuff like that. Not wanting to do a shot with me. Not ordering a shot.
He's like, I'm sober. You're like, I don't fucking care. That's such a turnoff that you won't drink.
I could never date someone who is sober.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can for the next month because I have a concussion and I can't drink. That's what it is.
Oh, but you're saying you can't date somebody sober because you want to drink. You drink a lot.
Yeah, like I'm social. I like to drink and have fun. I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody asks, are you into women or men? Are you into women or men more?
That's a tough question.
I think it varies because, like you said, you're in a way you said that you identify as pansexual.
Yeah.
So pansexual—that's something I identify as well, and it just means that it's more who you vibe with as a person versus what their gender. Pansexual. It's not about gender for her. So Francesca, she basically saying like she's down to date it, like the boy, girl, transgender. Like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't think.
But it is easier for me to date guys because it's harder to know if a girl's into girls when I'm out or stuff like that. So I usually have been ending up with guys more, but I want to date girls more, but it's just so hard, especially in the pandemic. We're not going out anymore.
Yeah. But I feel like sometimes Francesca's really into like the, what is that thing called? A thruple.
Thruple, yeah.
Because then she gets, like, even when she's dated guys, she always lets them know, like, I just need you to be okay if I want to fuck other girls.
Yeah, I let them know at the very first conversation we ever have if I start dating someone or think about dating someone.
Did you get any money for the merch that your ex made when you guys were together? I didn't see you tagged.
No, I got nothing, and I got nothing for the YouTube either.
T. What would it take to be able to get with someone like you?
I don't know.
Just be nice. Or actually, be an asshole. Then she'll date you.
Yeah, my type. Clearly, I like assholes and losers.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Oh, yeah. Literally, there's like this tweet that says, like, if we dated, don't be flattered because I literally date losers. That's Francesca. Not me, though. I date winners.
No, I feel like there's always something small that attracts me to someone. So even if there's like 100 red flags, I focus on that one small thing that I like and that takes over for me. And I need to not do that because I need to focus on the big picture of a person instead of that one thing that I like with my last partner.
Yeah.
There was one thing that I really liked about them, but there were so many other things that were awful.
His money.
But
I'm kidding. You didn't have money. You didn't have money. That was a joke. That's why it was funny.
It was that one thing. And I was like, I focused on that and all the other things that were wrong.
Big dick.
I completely ignored.
Just kidding. You didn't have a big dick either. So I don't know. What was it then?
He was super cute. And the way he was, if I can't give too much information, but people are going to know who I'm talking about.
No,
if I give too
much information. Won't. But the way he was in the beginning is what you're saying.
I noticed he had a...
Well, the point is, that's another issue that happens when you first date somebody. In the beginning, people pretend to be the best version of themselves. The key word here is pretend. So then a few weeks into it, suddenly you're just like, you're not acting like yourself. Or like, he's suddenly becoming more of an asshole. And like, I miss those, like the first week when he was amazing. It's like, no, the first week he was pretending to be someone else and so were you. And now after a few weeks or after a month, whatever, when the love goggles are fading away and you really get to see who each other is. And that's why what you see is what you get. Like that person he's showing you three weeks into the relationship, that's actually really who he is.
I feel like the person shows me that they're shit right off the bat and the love goggles are on so I don't see, but I feel like they're never pretending. They show me fucking day one that they're shitty and I have love goggles on so I don't see it. All I see is the one thing I like. They're never pretending with me. They always show me right away. Like all my last
exes. So you're the problem.
I'm the problem.
No, you're not.
No, I am.
But you're getting better.
Yeah, I just... there's small things that I like about someone, and I'm like, oh wait, all the other stuff doesn't matter. Like, it's not going to bother me, whatever. Yeah. And then I
feel like
hurt.
You're getting better. I feel like because I'm so extreme with how like quickly I'm just no, thank you. Yeah.
Like this last person, sorry, can you finish?
No, go on.
This last person that I was talking to briefly, I was really, really excited about, and then the red flags came instantly, and I was like, no, yeah. We're done here. And that was like a big step for me, because this person, like, I was like actually interested in as well.
Yeah, and that's called growth.
Growth.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, somebody asked, what's the best part about living together?
Friendship.
What's the worst part about living together?
My dog peeing everywhere.
Yeah, we've had some arguments, but it's only been over her dog.
Yeah.
So that's it. But it's also, it's been a growing experience for me, because I'm learning how to communicate better, because I just don't communicate and then I explode. And then it just in text too, which is the worst. But like, we're getting to understand each other better. So I feel like it's honestly been helpful for me, because I'm usually so good at being alone. So
yeah,
I'm getting used to being with someone around me. But yeah, all of our fights have been over her dog.
I mean, he's a really bad dog. So
he's a terrible dog. He's like the worst, because he's not trained.
Yeah, I'm slowly trying. It's a lot of like, you don't realize, because he's so fucking cute. So
yeah,
I show him way too much affection.
Yeah.
And he's like way worse in this house than he's ever been. He's getting worse as he gets older, which I've been told by trainers. They're like, he's going to keep getting worse.
That's what he needs, a dog trainer. I'll be honest, here's the reason we fought a little bit over the dog. He has peed and shitted all over my carpets, downstairs and upstairs, all over my carpets in my living room that have been very expensive carpets. Also, all of my regular carpets. The stairs are disgusting at this point. There's piss everywhere, like stains, piss. One of the guest bedrooms, like there's so many stains of his shit and his piss. Her Francesca's bedroom, he completely ripped out the carpet and he ruined also the door too with his nails, and he shit and pissed everywhere on that, and he also shit it and pissed on her mattress. And is that it? I forget.
I mean, probably everywhere else, to be honest.
But anyway, except that, so far.
Yeah, except so all of that.
But that's been my only frustration, I'm not gonna lie.
Well,
which,
of course,
we've
I
discussed
would literally
it now.
Lose it as well if I were you. But we're getting, it's like steps in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I needed to have a blow up in order to finally get over it, yeah. Do you think that the right one, wrong time exists? Here's what I think, and we talked about it earlier too, is that when you meet the right person at the wrong time, they're actually just the wrong person. And here's what I mean, is that yes, you may have gone along so well, but you're like, oh, I'm in a bad time in my life right now, or our age gap is what makes it really difficult for us, but we're such a match. Like, no, you met this person exactly when you were supposed to meet them, and they taught you exactly what you're supposed to learn, and you're parting ways exactly because this was your time to part ways. Sometimes you're not supposed to hold on to people. You're supposed to hold on to the moments, the good moments that you have with them, and then you're supposed to let go, and you're supposed to keep going. So when it comes to the right person, wrong time, that's why I don't believe in it, because I believe that everyone you meet, you were supposed to meet exactly when you were supposed to meet them. That's it. And that wasn't your person.
Yeah.
Because with the right people, you genuinely do figure out how to keep them in your life.
Yeah. If it's the right person, you'll literally bend over backwards to keep that person in your life. So,
yeah. And even if, because like I'm trying to compare some situations, like it's true, like even when there's moments where I'm not ready for something or another person is not ready for something, like if they, like I've had guys who are not ready for something, but then they'll do anything they can to try to somehow keep me in their life until they are ready for something or whatever. So it's up to you. I don't know. It's up to you to figure out whether you want that in your life or not. But no, I don't believe in that. I feel like it's just like a romantic thing that you try to put in your head and to think about like why it didn't work out.
Romanticizing it.
Yeah, it didn't work out because it wasn't supposed to work out. It's nothing personal. A lot of times I met guys and they're like, oh, the timing is just wrong. And then right after me, they end up having a girlfriend.
Yes. Yes, it hasn't happened to me, but it's happened to all of my friends.
So it wasn't the wrong time. I was just the wrong person for them.
And then they always end up getting a girlfriend. Yeah.
Exactly. I literally at one point I was like, am I good luck, Chuck? Because every time I sub dating a guy, they get a girlfriend after me. And I'm just like, so it just wasn't me then. Okay. Yeah. But like, that's okay too, you know? you don't want to be with somebody that's not sure about you. You want to be with somebody that's like, you're 100% who I want to be with. You don't want somebody that's like, I don't know. Yeah. I've never heard in my life of being somebody like, well, you know, he was never that into me and I just kept begging and begging and begging. And then 12 months later, we're engaged. Like that's never happened. Like a girl that keeps begging for a guy who's just sticking around because he's like weighing out his other options. He never ends up choosing you.
And if he does choose you, it'll be temporary.
Literally like a cup holder, little like person around until he actually finds his person. Yeah. So that's the honest truth, which sucks.
I mean, girls do it as well though.
Yeah, that is the thing. Girls do that as well as boys.
Yeah, they keep guys around just because it's convenient. And then when they actually find someone, they dump the nice guy and go for the guy that they really want.
Yeah, there's a whole episode on How I Met Your Mother. And there's a saying that they go, I don't see anything happening right now. And then when you add in that word right now, it gives the other person hope. Oh, like, oh, so there's a chance. No, there's never going to be a chance. We just say right now because we're hoping you're going to stick around just in case I have no other options. Mm-hmm. And that's literally what that sweet, sweet, nice girl or sweet, sweet, nice boy is doing to you. Even when they say, oh, just the wrong timing. No, they just don't like you like that. And it's never going to be the right timing. So don't wait around. Period. Sorry.
Period.
Okay. What is your biggest turn on for a guy? We were talking about this.
We were talking about this today, actually. Literally, text me. That's it. That's all you got to do. Text me. Make me come.
Human decency.
Call me.
These days turns us on.
Yeah. Basic like, human decency. The other day, this guy that I was like talking to, he called me and Violet was like, oh, he called you? And no. We're like, yeah, he called me. And it was like the most basic thing he could have done was call me.
No, but not even that. We were sitting and talking and she talking about how she slept with that guy, that guy who called her. They also slept together. And then when I was like, well, did you come at all? And she's like, yeah, he let me come. He was like, I'm not going to come. He didn't want to come until I came. He let me come. She accidentally said that. He let me come 3 times. And the fact that she said he let me, and I go, oh my God, what a keeper. What a stellar man. And then we started laughing about the fact that like, it should be such a given that you should come too during sex. And we were just like applauding him, wanting to like give him a trophy for being like a normal person.
Yeah, we're literally giving him like this pedestal for being a normal human.
What every
texting
guy.
Texting me good morning, making sure I'm okay because of my injury. Calling me to see if I got home okay. Basic human decency. We're like, fuck yeah, I'm wet.
I was just like, take out your IUD.
It shouldn't even be letting me come. It should be like,
literally, that's why it was so funny. Yeah, you were like, he let me come. But it's so sad and pathetic because these days, guys just try to worry about coming first that they forget sometimes about the girl. So when a guy actually cares for a girl to come, you're just like, okay, I'm literally not going to take my birth control now.
I'm ripping out my IUD right now.
I'm ripping out my IUD. I'm going to get pregnant by you because you seem like a great guy. Girls, if he seems like a great guy, if you need I feel like I saw a tweet about it. Like if you need to get the after pill the next day and he gives you money for it, keep the money and don't get the after pill.
Because
he's a good man. So you should keep him. So get pregnant.
Yeah.
Just kidding. It's terrible advice. Obviously don't do it, but maybe, I don't know. It's your life. Okay.
And he had a huge dick.
He had a huge dick and he knew how to use it.
Yes. And he's very young, which is right.
He is very young.
We're going to stop.
Okay. What is my biggest turn on from a guy? For me, a guy that's really passionate about his job. Like a guy that's really into his work and I feel like he inspires me because he's so into his job and he's so passionate about it. That's a big turn on for me. Also, a guy that's humble. I love a guy that's just modest and humble about his achievements. But yeah, for me, I'm really into a man that's successful. So that's a big turn on for me. If he's passionate about what he's doing for a living and he's successful, I love that because it inspires me to want to work harder.
Well, I feel like you are also very successful and you're very hardworking. So you need that in someone as well.
No, yeah, that's why it's a turn on for me because I want, like, I am already the best version of myself, obviously, like I said, but like, it inspires me then to want to work harder. That like I can't date somebody who's very lazy because I'm not.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would love to date someone who's not a morning person because I am, and I want to annoy them for the rest of my life. That is like a goal for me, the dream. I want to marry someone that's not a morning person because I'm a morning person. So I want to ruin their life like that.
slowly.
That sounds awful.
I know. Are you a morning person?
I don't think so. No,
I am.
No.
So yeah, I guess that's the biggest turn on for me for sure. Yeah. I feel like some girls would be like, he loves animals. I don't care. Just kidding. Yeah. I like passionate about his job. Next question. Are you happy now? Like, I mean, in this moment right now, are you happy?
I feel very happy. Yeah.
Me too.
Am I going to cry?
I know.
Yeah. I feel very like
content.
Yeah. I feel like I cut out the negative people that were kind of giving me anxiety, and I'm obviously stressed with like work and the future and stuff like that. But I feel very blessed, and Hyani always reminds me that I should feel blessed for what I have the opportunity to do. So
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, minus my concussion, I feel fucking amazing.
But even the fact that you survived every, like one time I got in a really bad car accident that I almost died. And then I was so mortified. My father said, Violeta, do not be upset, because today is the day you lived. And I was like, wow.
Wow.
Words of wisdom. He's right. Yeah. It's the same thing with your concussion. It could have been worse.
It could have smashed the side of my face. Instead.
Literally, yeah. And then there goes your moneymaker.
There goes my fucking career.
Yes, that would suck.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I feel happy right now. And in general, yeah. I still have moments, I think. But like, I think for me, as much as people want to hate on the fact that I went to Miami, for other people that have been listening to my podcast in general, they know that I even almost, not almost, I did like hit depression again. And it's been a really hard year for me because I did self-isolate for so long. So A, it became positive for me to find a roommate, to have someone around me sometimes. Like, it made me feel like more normal. But then I haven't really left my house at all. And I'm not really that social. Ask Frankie. Like, mm-hmm. Do I ever leave my house?
No. Only if I ask you, like beg you to come with
literally,
me.
Literally, I never leave the house. So then to go to Miami and to be around a few friends, like it reminds me like how much you need people and how much with this whole like quarantine thing, how much we don't talk about what it's doing to all of our like mental health. Because that is the one thing, the main thing that I'm worried about. I just think the suicide rates have gone up more than usual. Mm-hmm. And for me, I needed that from a mental health. Like, even my mom forced me to go to Miami. My own mother was like, you better go. Because I didn't want to go, actually. Like, the night before, I really didn't want to go. I just wanted to stay home. But I'm so happy I went. And that made me feel... I remember I wrote this whole, like, thing about it. But it made me feel alive again. And it made me feel so thankful for my life and to be around people that I love and care. And it was just, like, such a nice experience. And then also to come back to my home, like, it was really nice to just be like, wow, I live here. And, like, wow, this is nice view. And, like, wow, I'm healthy. Like, honestly, for me, every day that I get to wake up, every day that you wake up, it's a blessing, in my opinion. And then every day that I get to wake up healthy and alive, what a blessing.
Yeah.
And those two things make me happy. And to have people that I love and care about around me, like, that makes me happy too.
That was so sweet. I loved every second of that.
Oh, thank you. I know. I'm making myself almost cry. Okay, last question before we end this. Oh, I feel bad for this girl. So we fucked like 3 times, but he still ignores my text. What do y'all think? What do you think we think? He's not into you. I feel so bad for him. What? He's gonna marry you. He's the one.
I mean, at that point, obviously, you're just what's the opposite of a dick appointment?
There's an opposite of a dick appointment?
Yeah, like, he's a dick appointment. You're the
pussy appointment?
You're the pussy appointment. And he just wants to fuck you, and
maybe you're coming on too strong. Maybe for him it was casual, because we don't know how she's been texting him. Maybe she's texting the way a Hyani texts guys.
Yeah.
Which is alarming.
It's aggressive.
It's aggressive. So maybe you have to chill your texting, especially because you guys didn't communicate. You didn't have the conversation where you are. So when you fuck a guy 3 times, maybe to you and your brain, like for me, it would be, because that's why I don't fuck guys, yeah, unless I'm dating them, is that I would be like, okay, we're together. But maybe for him, it was just casual sex and he was fucking other girls or whatever. So if he's ignoring your text, maybe chill out on texting him for a minute.
Chill out. Talk to someone else. Do your own thing.
Yeah. Remember, like, and then start looking, finding all of his flaws. He probably never made you come. That's already his, like, biggest flaw.
Yeah.
So you start to realize the sex wasn't even that amazing. The only amazing thing about the sex was the fact that you were there.
Yeah.
Like, you were in the sex and you got to...
He should be grateful.
Yeah. He got to, like, be inside of your puss-puss. And like, he should be
so thankful for that.
Anyway, you guys, I think we're good, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in for another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy on with me every Thursday. If you have any questions for Francesca, you can find her on Francesca Farrago, F-A-R-A-G-O, on Instagram. If we post it on YouTube, yeah, I'll post this on YouTube too. So then comment any questions below, but also
or on the Instagram.
Yeah. Don't forget to follow the Instagram, Too Tired to Be Crazy, the podcast DM. You can find Francesca on Francesca Farrago on Instagram, on YouTube, Francesca Farrago. Yeah.
Yep.
And then on OnlyFans, it's Francesca.Farrago.
Yeah.
You can probably find her on TV again, most likely next year.
Yeah.
But she is working on a few projects right now.
Wink, wink, nudge,
wink,
nudge.
Wink, wink, nudge, 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 nudge. All right, guys. Thank you so much again.
Thank you so much.
Love you.
We love you.
Bye.